crew saying no to Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Woo! Ellen Pompeo isn't here for seeing her former co-star Jesse Williams' buns on stage. We will explain.
And later on, Nick Cage dishes with us about his most challenging role yet, playing himself in his new movie. Now we got our homegirl, actress and singer Tamar Braxton back in the building with us, y'all.
Hey! Tamar!
DJ! And back again here in LA is actress and TV host Mary Carmen Lopez!
Mighty Carmen! Hey. Yeah, I'm here in Phoenix, so you know we're definitely going to get it on and popping. But yo, is this somebody's birthday? What?
Yes,
what? So. Yo, our very own Sherry Shepherd celebrating another year going around the sun. Sherry, we love you. Happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Te mando un besito, mommy. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday, Sherry.
Happy birthday, Sherry. Wish you were here. Wish you were here with us.
Yes.
All right, well, let's start dishing, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it's 2022, and Mike Tyson is out here still giving out first-class ass-whoopings. He went from being cool and peaceful to rocking a fan on a plane. Now, according to reports, Iron Mike was keeping it cool with two overly excited fans. He took selfies with them, and it was all love. But then one of the fans who was sitting right behind him wouldn't start bothering him. So Mike got annoyed and pretty much turned into Passenger 57. My man punched out and bloodied homeboy's face and then walked off the plane.
He messed up.
Was
the
he
man
okay,
messed
though?
Up.
I mean.
Yeah, he'd be all right tomorrow. Now, the doctors checked the fan out and he's okay, but talk about getting Tyson's autograph all over your face. That's a permanent tattoo.
Oh, my gosh. It's like he's going to live to tell that story. He's going to tell it all the time.
I just don't want that passenger feeling like he's the victim, because you're no victim. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were completely antagonistic, you know what I mean? All over somebody. Like, you got to have space. And where was the stewardess? Hello?
Probably
come
filming.
On, any other time.
Listen, this dude learned that the skies are not always friendly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the headache he woke up with for me.
Yeah, man.
The real hangover.
Mass.
Mike Tyson knocked him into another time zone. You know?
All right, everybody. It is time for a dish to bed.
Dish to bed.
Yes, I'm ready for this one, but I want to know. Okay. So, Pete Davidson's friends are saying, no, don't do it. Yes. Now, word on the streets is that Pete's Saturday Night Live crew has advised him against going to the new Kardashian series on Hulu. And sources says his career has already taken off, so why would he need to do all of this, right? It's a short way to kill the relationship. Getting involved in the show decimates every man. But
Facts.
You think so?
Facts.
Okay, but let's check this out.
Don't do it, Pete. Don't do it, baby.
Okay, so other sources are saying Pete feels no pressure to be on the show, and neither do the people around him. And he feels like if it happens that way and he's on the show, so be it. It just happens. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think every man that goes into that Kardashian dynamic leaves needing, like, a Nugenics prescription.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Like, your testosterone count just drops low.
We've seen what happens, y'all. We've seen what happens. Do you think Pete should do this? I think hell no.
It's so tricky, man, because, like, Pete, right? Like, we know Pete is an actor and as a comic.
Right.
But there's this whole thing where it's like you don't know everything about who they are as a person that gets revealed on reality TV. And so it's like, sure, you could go on the Kardashians, become a reality star, make a lot of money. But then can you turn around and still be a movie star?
Exactly.
I just feel like putting your spouse or your boyfriend on a reality show is a no-no. I'm telling you, don't do it. Something happens where everything starts to go wrong. Don't do it.
It's the kiss of death, y'all.
All right. We have another saucy dish debate. So rapper Saucy Santana let his fans know he loves having a little extra junk in the trunk.
One
fan tweeted, "Hear me out. If Tana dropped like 40 to 60 pounds, the industry would be his." And he responded, "Why do I need to lose 60 pounds to be the star that I already am? If you sit back and hush, you'll see the that I have coming up after tour didn't require a weight loss."
Oh, yes, Saucy, let them know, okay? Do y'all think weight loss is a part of success in entertainment?
I'm a big poppy, bro, and I've been doing TV for the last 16, 17 years.
Yeah, that's
I've never felt the pressure to conform or change myself in any way. If you got a problem with my weight, meet me outside. Meet me in the back, and I'll show you what's up.
Yeah, this is such an old school way of thinking. Back. Yeah, back in the day, everybody had to look a certain way, be a certain size. And I just think that, you know, everybody can be who they are and love who
they
are. I mean, look at Lizzo, she's killing it right now.
Yeah, and you can work it to your advantage. Because people like to see people that look like them.
Yep.
Not everybody is this emaciated model-looking person out here. And sometimes, especially for singers, some of them heavier singers, the power come from the weight.
Yeah, me too, man. When I sing, I hit them high notes. I just sound different, bro. I sound amazing.
Yo, Chewy's falsetto is second to none, baby.
Yeah, bro. Huh?
Plus, you need a couple pounds to twerk. You know what I'm saying? You gotta. Everybody likes to see a little jiggle in the dance.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because this little booty cannot twerk. No mo. It's all gone.
And that's my problem. You know, like, when I twerk, it's like it's gotta look good. You know.
Yeah, Chewy, get it.
Without
get
the junk
it,
in the trunk, you're just shaking vertebrae.
You know what?
All right, guys, moving along. Recently, we talked about Jesse Williams appearing nude in the Broadway show Take Me Out. Broadway is evidently a lot more interesting than I ever knew. Jesse's former Grey's Anatomy co-star, Ellen Pompeo, revealed on her podcast that she was unsure about seeing Jesse in all of his glory. She said, Debbie Allen and I were just talking about it, and I said, I can't see Jesse naked on stage. What are we going to do? How are we going to go see this show? Because you want good seats, but if he's going to be naked on stage, we don't want to be up close. Well, apparently, Debbie, who played Jesse's mom on Grey's, got over it because she posted a pic with Jesse after recently seeing the show. So, you guys, do you think Ellen just needs to get over it and watch Jesse take out his bat?
Look, if you and Chewy were out here coming out with your junk and head crack, you know, if that's what you want to do, I'd support it.
I'm not going.
You really would?
You're not going?
Some people that you don't want to see. Like, I can't sit next to him every day and be like, he did it. Let me see what happened. No, I cannot do that.
It's so weird that it's a double standard because I would go.
She would go if I did like that.
I told you, I go twice. I would see the matinee and the evening show.
Scare me.
It's so tricky because, I feel like there's a difference in, like, doing it for a movie or even for a TV show and on a Broadway show. Like, why? Right. Why?
In Broadway.
That's why.
It just be so cold in those theaters, too. Like, there's so much pressure to, like, perform. Yeah.
But HK, that's why you gotta fluff it up, Poppy. You gotta get it ready.
Chewy, you don't know if Dr. Banner's gonna show up with a Hulk, right?
You gotta be.
Yeah, man. Listen.
Let me get Grey Hulk at least, the one with the glasses.
Yeah, can I get a medium?
See Good and Plenty, period.
Yeah. Speaking of nudity, the new movie The Northman features Alexander Skarsgård in a naked sword fight. Now, check this out. Director Robert Eggers explained why Skarsgård and his co-star weren't really naked and how they fixed it. He said, we actually had to add things digitally because they were wearing thongs because no one wanted to get their bits chopped off. So we actually had to add some genitals CG style for certain shots so they wouldn't look too, dollish.
Oh wow!
They usually use CGI to cover things up or to make people look younger. Mm. Are you guys surprised that they use this process to add some junk? Wow!
I mean, deep fake technology, man. They deep faking everything. Yes.
There's a new Jurassic Park coming out, and so if they can make dinosaurs, they can give me a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, right? And you would ask for it, so you make it a little Rexy down there.
Right.
Make
right.
it like the arms of Armin Hammer.
I'm like, you guys remember that movie Anaconda from the 90s?
Yes. Tanner, what are all those bumps?
All right, up next, you won't believe the two major roles that Nicolas Cage turned down, all in the name of family. We'll tell you all about it after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back, and look who has joined us, Andrew Fry.
I am here, and guys, it is good to be back, and I cannot wait to tell y'all about my chat with Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage about his new movie. Guys, it is so good, but more on that a little bit later.
Man, I love me some Nicolas Cage. Speaking of Rage in the Cage, in a recent interview, he shared that he turned down roles in The Matrix and Lord of the Rings so that he could stay home with his family.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a good family man. Mm-hmm. He claimed he didn't want to go out of the country for 3 years to shoot these movies because he wanted to stay home and spend time with his son, Weston. Now, The Matrix came out in 1999, Weston would have been like 11 then, so I get it, you know?
Well, it's funny you mention that because one of the things that he said in our interview, because in the film, he plays the heightened version of himself. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, well, what's the difference between the guy in the movie and you? And he said exactly, he's like, the guy in the movie would sacrifice his family for his career, and that was one thing the real Nicolas Cage would not do. So this tracks.
That makes sense.
Would any of you miss any major opportunities for your family?
For sure.
If I if I was in the position of Nick Cage where you can turn down a big role, absolutely. Right. But if I still have to pay for my daughter's college university, then, you know, we have to
I look at things with the optics of I'm doing the big opportunities for the family.
Really?
You know what I mean? Because, you know, sometimes you don't get that second shot.
That's true.
Right. But if, like, if I'm getting that Lord of the Rings coin, I am missing my niece's bat mitzvah. Sorry. Sorry about that.
Well, but it's different when you're, like, a single parent like me. It's, like, really, really hard. You kind of got to pick and choose because you don't want to miss anything.
Yo, can we talk about, like, how much money do you have, bro, where you can turn down two of the biggest cinematic franchises in movie history, Lord of the Rings and The Matrix? If you could turn down those two films, like, come on, how much money do you really have, bro?
That's what I'm saying, Chewy.
I mean,
that's true.
When you look at Nick Cage from that era, though, like, he was in everything.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, y'all. Looks like the British talk show this morning was briefly thrown into chaos when they had a crazy, crazy, enormous visitor. Yeah, it appeared in the studio and scared the crap out of hosts Holly and Philip. Wow, take a look, y'all.
Look, I don't get either of us jumped. I'm not scared, but how?
But there is the most enormous spider that just ran
underneath like the camera.
But I mean, it's like that doesn't look so big on the telly.
It's not that big.
I would be out of the studio if that spider was here. I would be out.
Yo, so Tamar, if a spider appeared right now in the Dish Nation studio, what would happen?
It's a no for me, dog. Because I'm scared. Don't prank me with no spiders. I'm afraid of all insects. Caterpillars, birds. Birds not an insect, but I'm afraid of birds.
I hate caterpillars, too.
I am so petrified, especially spiders. Don't even play with me like that.
How about when that's small?
No. Or like a scorpion. If a scorpion.
A scorpion, yeah.
No. Listen. If a scorpion came across this table, I would be out that door in 5 seconds.
Absolutely. A scorpion, a spider. I could do snakes, but not. No.
Oh, I can't do a snake either. Are you kidding me?
I'm good.
What are those, the boas that they don't bite? I could do that.
We have to deal with enough snakes in Hollywood, let alone.
That's true, baby.
I'm like, I'm like Crocodile Hunter. Like, I can handle the bugs, the snakes, the whatever. I got you. I'm gonna get them outside
all day long, Tanner, because I'm very skittish.
All right, guys. Well, up next, I got to chat with Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage and the rest of the cast about their new film, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So come right back.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. So, Andrew, we mentioned Nicolas Cage earlier. Tell us all about the interview.
All right, guys, this movie is so good. I recommend everyone go see The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And Nicolas Cage plays a fictionalized version of himself.
Ooh.
So I got the scoop from Nick, as well as Lily Sheen, who plays his daughter. Check it out.
Now, let's talk about one of the iconic scenes in here is where you make out with yourself. Which I recently just learned moments ago that a lot of that was your idea, that the original idea was just a peck.
Yeah, I didn't even know if it was a peck. I think it was more like Nikki hugs Nick and goes, "Who loves you, baby?" or something like that. And I said, "Tom, this entire experience for me is like I'm making out with myself. And what I mean by that is it's awkward, it's kind of fun, and it's horrifying. If you look at it as a surrealistic interpretation, this is cubist. That's another layer on top of the meta layer. And to me, that was very symbolic of that."
I mean, it's like a multiverse, mind-blowing, total... Right. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible. I did not know who your parents were until my producer gave me my notes. And I was like, okay, now I'm even more wildly invested, fascinated in your role in this. So did you have any kind of like surreal moments where you're like, wait a minute, I've spoken to my mom like this or my dad? Like, what was that like?
I mean, interestingly enough, like you say, you didn't know, you know, who I was before. It was the same experience for the producers on the movie. They didn't know sort of who I was when they saw. And I think that, I mean, I feel very like, ooh, about that. I'm very good about myself. But I think also that did, I hope that what that brought to the movie was, you know, I haven't had this experience with my family. I didn't have the same upbringing. And there is definitely a catharsis at any point in yelling at a father figure. You know, that's always amazing.
Give me your best Nick Cage impression, Tom. I'm going to just sit right here and watch.
Wow. I'm not a neurotic guy, Tom. That's the best I got for you.
Kevin, don't think you're going to get out of this.
Oh, I'm doing this? Okay. You know, Kevin, I was wondering, I have an idea for this scene this morning. And it was, you know, Tom doesn't get it, but I think you might understand.
Is this supposed to be me? It's grotesque.
It's so good, but Tanner, can you give me your best Nicolas Cage impression?
Let me see. Let me see which one I got here.
Come on,
let me see. Let me see if I.
You gotta
hold on. Let me get it.
There he goes.
You gotta hit it with this one. Yes. Then you gotta say, let go of the bunny.
I'm not sure. What was that?
That was from Con Air.
Come on. That was horrible.
He's like,
that was horrible.
How dare you? Chewie, do you have a better Cage?
Yeah.
He speaks more like this, like, I'm a Coppola, but I'm not a Coppola, but I used to be in Raising Arizona. He speaks more like that. Come on, bro.
You know, I really want to hear Tamar Braxton's impression of Nicolas Cage.
That's what I want to hear.
I know that Tamar's got one.
Acting chops.
Oh, no, Tamar's no so good.
Wow, Nick Cage is Jamaican.
Yo, Headcrack, I know you got one.
Which aisle of the diapers?
Oh, that's good.
I feel like he said that somewhere raised in Arizona.
Okay, so The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is in theaters today, and please check it out. It is so, so good.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, up next, Summer Walker has strolled into a new beef. We'll explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back. Now, Summer Walker has created the next Versus battle. It's going to be Summer versus the TSA. Now, Summer recently felt violated by a TSA agent, and she shared what happened in her now-deleted IG stories. Yo, Tamar, can you put that sauce on it for me?
Oh, baby. Head crank. I sure can. Here's the sanitized version for TV, because sis was like... I'm legit about to start coming through the airport totally naked. I'm so tired of these ugly witches looking for random reasons to touch this butt for free. Now, I gotta take your horrible energy home with me or worse.
Yo, the TSA stands for touching and sneaking into that ass. I stand like this. Yeah. I stand like this. They hit me with the little micro beams, and then they come out and they fill me up every time.
And it's absolutely never the people that you want absolutely to pat me down. God, like, anytime not. I get patted down, it's always by a chick who's built like a bailiff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But you need, like, you know, airport-appropriate give. You look like you built a certain way. Of course they're going to try to, like, you know, squeeze your Charmin. You need some trip drips, sorbet or something. Bulk up a little bit so you could look like, dress like Billie Eilish.
Dress no one's like bad. Billie Eilish. Yes. Done.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.